The recording has started. Please begin.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you. So welcome to today's fellowship-wide call titled Retirement in Recovery. This call is presented by DA's Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus. What is spiritually sustainable earning? What does that look like? We found that the topic continues to be an interactive discussion, much in the same way that the topic of debting can often be very personal to each debtor and reasoned out with the sponsor. The Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus, or also known as SSEC's mission, serves to support the DA Fellowship in gaining clarity around issues of earning and the DA program. Our vision is to broaden the fellowship-wide understanding of how spiritually sustainable earning fits into DA recovery, encouraging a comprehensive and spiritual approach by working the 12 steps and using the tools of Debtors Anonymous. My name is Maya, and I'm a recovering debtor from the Bay Area in California. Please join me in the Serenity Prayer. You may unmute yourselves for this.
God,
grant me
Thy will not mine be done.
Thank you very much. Our call today will include three speakers who will be recorded for a podcast that will be posted on debtorsanonymous.org on the website under Fellowship-Wide Services, then Fellowship Podcast, within a few days. On this call, in keeping with the traditions, please help us keep the focus on the 12 steps, the recovery program of DA, by leaving out other affiliations, your professions, other philosophies, outside publications, religions, and other 12-step programs. We appreciate that. After the speakers, we will stop recording of the call for a sharing portion. So anyone wishing to share will have 3 minutes each, and that part of the call will not be recorded. All callers have been placed on mute. So just remember to press star 6 to unmute only if you're participating in the call or during the sharing period. So all speakers today have 15 minutes each. And Grant, I'm just checking in. If you are on to keep time, Grant, the timekeeper?
Yes, I'm here, and I'll do that.
Thank you, Grant. Appreciate it. That's awesome. So I'll be keeping time. Our first speaker is Barbara, who will be speaking on her experience, strength, and hope in regards to retirement in recovery for 15 minutes. Barbara, I want to welcome you to the call. And first, Barbara, are there any time warnings that you would like while you're speaking?
Say a 2-minute warning.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
All right, you may begin, Barbara. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'm Barbara, compulsive debtor, and very honored to be asked to speak on this call today. I was very lucky to get into DA in my early 30s. I'd been in a couple of other programs, but my money had not gotten better, and finally a friend dragged me to my first meeting. And I didn't think I would relate, but I ended up in tears, and I began coming to that meeting regularly. And when they told me to stop incurring new unsecured debt, I didn't think I could do that. I thought there's no way I can get through a month without debting, but I did. I got through the first month. I only had about $3 left, but it worked, and that was kind of like the first DA miracle. I started recording my numbers. And it took me several months to make that a habit, but I finally, after 3 months, I had a month's worth of numbers and asked for a PRG, and I was very lucky that I had a man and a woman who were both there for over a year. I did monthly PRGs with them for over a year, and that gave me a very solid foundation in the DA tools. And things that happened during that first year were that I started asking my higher power every morning to keep me free from debting, overspending, or under-earning. And I started asking for to be restored to sanity around money and the material world and jobs and earning. And things started getting better. They told me that I had needs that I had to address in my spending plan, and that I had wants, and it was okay to have wants, which I had grown up believing there was something wrong with wanting things, and so I never let myself want anything. And going to DA meetings and working with a pressure relief group meant that I got feedback from other people about that, and I started thinking maybe it was okay to have needs and wants and to do something about them. My first PRG told me crazy things like quit throwing all my money at my debts or at charities, spend money on myself, you know, make sure my needs were met and that at least some of my wants, and then the debts could be addressed. And I thought that was insane, and I resisted, but I gradually became willing to do that. And as the years went by, I got a lot of healing. I'd had so much fear and shame around money and financial issues. You know, a bank teller when I was in college had tried to explain to me how to balance my checkbook after I had totally mangled my first checking account, but I couldn't hear her or take in the information because I had so much shame and anxiety about money. And you know, my first PRG explained how you do it, and I could hear it from them because they were debtors too, and I had heard them talk in meetings about their problems with money. So all of this, you know, began to change my life, and I started, you know, my debts were getting paid off. I was having savings. I began to admit to myself that I wanted things like my own home, and things I thought were impossible, I started admitting to myself I wanted them. I talked about it in my PRG. They had me take actions toward it, which often involved gathering information, researching what I could, figuring out what kind of numbers were involved, what would I need to actually make that happen. And then I would pray for guidance, you know, and that became my process for many years. I would realize I wanted something, whether that was a piece of furniture or a vacation or a house or whatever, and I would put it through that process, inviting my higher power in, talking to my PRG, looking at the numbers straight on and getting clarity. And then even though I thought I might think it was hopeless, but I started doing what the PRG suggested, and I began to believe that I do have a benevolent higher power who wants good things for me in the material world. I did not believe that before. Working the DA program gave me a feeling that that we do live in an abundant universe, that I am an adult who can participate financially and in business things, and it expanded my universe. So I go through, you know, I got in my 30s, and it's hard to think seriously about retirement, but my PRG, when I got, you know, my first recovery job, my PRG said, be sure you participate in the retirement program, especially if there's a match. And I always made sure I gave enough money to get the match, even if I didn't feel like I could put in a lot more than that. And I know people who work for themselves have to take a different approach to retirement. But, you know, I always worked for an organization, and so if there was a matching retirement money on offer, I made sure I put in at least enough to get that match, and often more if my spending plan could accommodate that. I was real conscious that if I took too much money for the future and ended up deprived in the present, that was not a good thing, that I had to approach everything with balance. And it didn't matter if some of the personal finance and retirement planning books I read said, oh, you have to put in at least 10% a month, or you have to have at least $500,000 before you can even think about retiring. You know, those things didn't matter as much as, you know, looking at my needs and wants through a DA lens and checking it out with my PRG and as I got into my 50s, I realized I'd always assumed I would work till 66. But as I got into my late 50s, I realized that I really didn't think I could work that long, that my industry and my field had changed a whole lot. It was not as much fun as it had been previously. I was having to overwork a lot, and I dared to think that, gosh, what if I could retire early? What if I could retire at 62? And again, I thought that would be impossible, but I allowed myself to have the desire to admit to myself that I wanted to retire early, even though it seemed like an impossible dream. And I started talking about it with my PRG, and I started praying about it. And because DA had taken away so much of my fear and shame, I was able to go to the library and get books on retirement planning and retirement finances and read them and sort of understand them enough to have a better idea about what I'd be looking at and what all those things at my employer's retirement program meetings were talking about. And so doing that kind of research was possible only because working the steps in DA had given me some peace, and having people in DA support me while I, you know, looked at a mortgage application or evaluated a job, you know, things that were impossible for me to do before, I was able to do with the support of people in this program. And the steps cleared away a lot of my spiritual and emotional baggage around this stuff. You know, the only reason I had a 30-year prosperous career with retirement included as part of the deal was because of DA. And so I, you know, incredible gratitude. Anyway, I turned 60. I'm having some health issues. I so want to retire early. And I start going to talk to the retirement people at my employer's program and at the place where the investment place where I had my funds and from my previous job, and I got some information, and I started, because I had the clarity of a spending plan, I knew what my minimum monthly amount needed to be. I wasn't just guessing or anything, and I read, you know, and I did things like I read an entire 500-page book on Social Security benefits, you know, so I had clarity out the wazoo, but again, only with the support of DA. And I made a decision to retire at 62, and I was able to do that. You know, I drove everybody at my DA group crazy for 2 years because I talked about nothing but retirement. And I kept praying because I didn't have a clear answer. I just knew I wanted to do this, and I was getting clearer on the numbers. And but I kept, you know, I did my due diligence. I was just waiting for a clear, intuitive thought from my higher power. And that came when I was 61. Things changed in our organization again, and it was clear it was time to leave. So I, just shortly before my 62nd birthday, I turned my resignation in. And then I started, you know, there I was for the first time in 40 years not having to go into work every day and having to get a different relationship with my savings. And it's all those years in DA, every time I decided to spend a big wad of money, you know, I'd save up money for something, and then I was always sure if I actually spent it on whatever I had saved it for, that I was never going to see a big wad of money ever again. But what happened was money kept coming. And after being retired for 3 years now, I'm finally starting to trust the process of taking money out of my retirement accounts. And I did wait until I was 65 to take my Social Security, because, of course, the longer you wait up until age 70, the more you get, even though you can start taking it at 62. I waited till I was 65, and I had so much fear that I would wipe out my retirement accounts before I'd even gotten to this age, but I didn't. It's kind of all been working the way it's supposed to. And it's just this incredible miracle to me that I have this wonderful retired life today. And I was able to do that with clarity. You know, one of the biggest humps about retiring early is that if it's before Medicare can kick in, you've got to be able to pay for health insurance. And I had to get married to do that. My significant other of 25 years, he retired before me, and he was willing for us to get married so I could get on his insurance plan, because he had insurance as part of his retirement package. And so we did that, you know, and we planned things together about what we, you know, that would include our vision, you know, at least some of our vision for both of us. And, you know, it's worked out. And I'm not sure what else I can say here. I know I'm getting to the end of my time, except that, you know, working the steps, and even though I'd worked the steps in two other programs, doing a fourth and fifth step on a DA thing, it's powerful, you know, even if you work the steps in other programs, to work the steps with a DA sponsor on DA issues is so incredibly powerful. And I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but, you know, I'm trusting God with the future. You know, I've learned that if I do what I can do today and leave the rest of it to God, I really believe it's going to work out, even though that sounds crazy. And I've come to believe in a higher power that is bigger than the economy. And I think that's probably all. So thank you very much.
Barbara, thank you very much for sharing your experience, strength, and hope, your daring to dream and do research, and where you're at now. That's awesome. Thank you. Perfect. So our second speaker is Peggy, who will be speaking on her experience, strength, and hope in regards to retirement and recovery for 15 minutes. Peggy, I want to welcome you to the call first, and would like to know if you would like any time warnings during your share.
Yes, I'm ADHD, so structure is helpful for me.
Yes.
So if the timer could give me after the first 5 minutes, the first 10 minutes, and then the 13 minutes, so I would know when I have 2 minutes left.
Okay, you got it.
All right, thank you very much.
Pardon me for interrupting. I'm so very sorry. This is M in New York, and I know the recording has started, but I'd like to ask if there's a dashboard monitor who can mute the line. There was background noise during the last share, and this is such a gift. It would be nice to have a clear line. Thank you so much.
This is Diana, your tech host. I will press *5 to mute the line, and Peggy, then please press *6 to begin your speaking. One moment.
Sure. Is this okay?
Yes, Peggy.
Hello?
Yes,
okay,
Peggy,
good.
Please.
Yes, Peggy.
So you want me to go ahead and go, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. Well, my name is Peggy, and I'm a very, very grateful member of this program. and am honored to be asked to speak on this topic. I've been retired now for almost 2 years, and I can say without question, I've been in the program about 20 years. I came in when I was 50, that this program has saved my life. It's given me a quality of life beyond what I could ever have a vision. And because of the miracles I've received from my higher power in working this program, I'm financially secure and can't believe I'm even saying that. I do want to give a special shout out to my DA home group of over 20 years, a Saturday morning meeting in Bethesda, Maryland, who have provided me with experience, strength, and hope for all the time that I've been in the program. I hope my story is helpful to each of you wherever you are in your life cycle. Years ago, when I was in DA and first began thinking about retirement, I found it to be a scary topic because it's all about planning for the future, and I didn't have a good track record with finances. So where did I start from? So I came to my first VA meeting in January of 2000 at the age of 50 in a panic and in pain. Not only was I panicked, I was clueless about how I got myself into such financial difficulties. And while I was confident in other areas and had a good career, I didn't even know at the time that I knew zero nada about personal finance management. How bad was it? Well, everybody's details are different, but none of us come into DA because things are going well.
Peggy?
Yeah.
This is your tech host. Is that your background noise?
I'm the only one here. I don't think so.
Then again, I apologize for the interruption. I will press *5 to mute the line, and please press *6 to unmute yourself to continue speaking. One moment.
Sure. Thanks. I'm back?
Yes.
Okay. So the panic that got me coming to DA in January 2000 was when credit card bills came in the mail. And I realized that I had racked up $5,000 additional dollars in debt to my already looming debt just in 3 months before Christmas. I was desperate. I knew I was out of control. And despite previous independent efforts, I couldn't stop myself from doing things differently, and I knew I had to do something. So what were my behaviors like? Well, the list is long, but to give you an idea, I had a checking account at two different banks, and I used to use one checking account until the checks from that account started bouncing, and then I would switch over to the other checking account so the first one could calm down, and then I would switch back when I bounced checks in the second checking account. And while, you know, I was somewhat annoyed that I had to pay overdraft fees, but I thought I had figured out a good solution about how to handle stuff. So if there was more than $200 in my checking account that was unallotted for any immediate expense, I would get antsy and would compulsively look around for something to buy. I never considered that there might be a future unexpected expense that I was going to be responsible for. I would buy things that I always decided that I wanted, even though I may or may not ever use what I had purchased. And conversely, I was very adverse to spending things on things that I needed, like doctors or dentists. That just didn't seem to be a good use of money. So I had no respect for money. I had grown up with multiple distorted negative views from my parents and my church that included negative messages about keeping money and positive messages about giving money away. So, you know, there are verses in the Bible that will give you that impression as well. And so suffice it to say, I earned my seat in these rooms. When I came into the rooms in January of 2000, it was my pain that kept me coming back and my attraction to the serenity and the solvency that I saw that others had and that I wanted for myself. So when I came into the rooms, on some level, I understood I was a binge spender, very impulsive, compulsive, but I didn't know I was a debtor because, after all, I could pay all my expenses with my salary and my credit cards. And I learned that when I was deciding to buy something, I was asking the wrong question. I kept asking myself whether I deserved it, not whether I could afford it. So, of course, the answer was always yes, and who knew? I was asking the wrong question. I believe now, and because of my compulsive, impulsive buying, it's core to me that prosperity is living within your means. I have enough, and I am enough, and living within my means gives me serenity. And if I start to get compulsive, I can look around the room at everything I have slowly and see all the material things that I have that can keep my help me with my compulsion.
Peggy, you have 10 minutes left.
Thank you. So the program was saying no unsecured debt one day at a time. So that was hard. To change my decades of ingrained behaviors was tough. And it really was what I consider my white knuckle period. So retirement was the furthest thing from my mind. My focus was on how I was going to handle money in the next 24 hours or next week, handle any new unexpected expense without using credit cards. And if I wanted to handle things responsibly, I had no idea what a responsible way to do it was. So what did I do? I leaned on the experience, strength, and hope of others. I would go to the meetings, and I believed in others when I could not believe in myself. And I believed in the courage and the dignity of others when I did not see any of that in myself. And when I was having a difficult situation and taking positive steps towards my own energy, I would wrap myself in the strength of the program and have you by my side. For example, the program would say you need multiple quotes for repairs, and I would say to myself, I'm in program. I need to get multiple quotes. So even though I'm looking at the person who just gave me a quote and is standing right in front of me waiting for me to say yes today to their proposal, I'd say to myself, taking the strength of the whole meeting, that it's nothing personal. I'm in program, so I have to get multiple quotes. If it was just up to me, I might do it differently, but I'm in program. So taking this strength from the program was very, very helpful. I'll tell you straight out, I've worked this program imperfectly. I began right away with the tools, the recording and meetings and PRGs, but it wasn't until much later that I included the steps. It would have been an easier process for me if I'd begun this step work earlier. I found it to be true that you can get relief through the tools, but recovery is in the steps, because the steps impact my whole outlook, perspective, and right-sizing of me and my role in the world. And I think that doing the program without the steps is like going to a dentist without anesthesia. And I've learned it doesn't have to be that hard, because higher power will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. In addition to reading and continuing to read the DA and AA literature, I read Gerald Mundus's book, as well as a number of personal finances books, several from the library, which gave me the confidence and understanding for personal management decisions. So, retirement. Like I mentioned, I came into the program in January of 2000, and in 2003 I found a retirement calculator template. There are a number of them online, all similar. I'm skittish about filling out an online calculator because of it being online and didn't want to have my numbers out there. But I found a retirement calculator article, and so I used that. And I filled out the template. Actually, I do it periodically. They have one that comes out annually. And when I did it in 2003, I was absolutely horrified with the monthly amount that the calculator determined I should be saving for retirement. I was horrified and discouraged. No way that I could save that much. And I blamed myself for filling out the template and gaining clarity on something that was so unreasonable. But I'm in program, and this is a WE program. And the calculator results gave me clarity that, as horrifying as it was, and through the help and guidance of my PRG, I added a retirement category to my spending plan just to make space, even when I didn't think that in the end it would be enough. Each month, I put a modest amount aside, slowly increasing that amount when I would get salary increases. I didn't laser focus on retirement, but I included that category in my spending plan and made space for it in my life, just like we do on our vision category. I learned that clarity about my financial situation is better than Vegas. Vagueness. If I'm vague, who am I kidding? The banks know. The credit card companies know. The credit score companies
know. You have 5 minutes left.
Thank you. The lack of clarity does not change the situation. It just keeps me out of the loop. I'm the only one who didn't know. So it's okay for me to know. And what I've learned is that information is power, and clarity gives me the opportunity for me to address the situation and adapt if I choose to do so. Before I came into DA, I lived unaware and compulsive, and it's different now. While there's no cure for my disease of compulsive spending, I can put it in remission. Mostly, I live in balance, and so instead of being driven by my compulsions, I can feel when they hit, and I have the skills to gently address it. I've learned it's not what I buy, it's how I buy, and I can feel that difference. I've been retired for 2 years now. It took me a while to adjust. It's a nice problem to have, but it is adjustment. And frankly, the abundance that I have in my life, the financial security, has been a struggle for me to address. And so, again, at this crossroads, I've had to deal with those old messages about money and struggling with whether I was worthy to have such an abundance in my life. And once again, I found silence, solace, guidance, and balance in our WE program. I go to meetings, have been going to meetings regularly for 20 years. That promises haven't been there all that time, most of that time. And for I heard, you know, just when I needed to hear it, the 12-step promise and 12-step and the third promise in a way I had never heard before. And it gave me such solace. We will recognize that a power greater than ourselves is the source of our abundance. We will ask for help and guidance and have faith that they will come. And that eased my sense of burden about whether I was worthy. I just need to focus on being able to accept the blessings. And the third step, to turn our wills and lives over to the care of God, helps me to know that everything's going to be all right. Gratitude and balance are also important parts of my program. Gratitude helps me notice the blessings that I receive every day. Early in the program, I would hear others speak of their miracles, and I would think, I'm ready, where's mine? Here, I'm God, I'm ready. I'm ready to waiting to win the lottery. And it took me a long time to realize that I wasn't noticing the miracles that were happening daily in my life. And being grateful helps me stay connected to the loving care of God. And I also now realize that if I had won the lottery, I won the lottery by coming into DA. If I had If I had won the lottery money-wise, I don't think that would have gone well. My financial security is not of my doing. I take action steps, attend meetings, give service, have PRGs, sponsor, but the miracles that happened to me to get me where I am today were beyond my involvement. While I came in with most of the DA signposts, I have and continue to receive all of the promises. And the promises tell us that when we work this program with integrity and to the best of our ability one day at a time, a life of prosperity and serenity will be ours. I'm finding that's true for me, and I wish all the blessings for you as well. Thank you so much for letting me be of service and to share.
Peggy, thank you. Thank you very much for speaking with us today and sharing your story of recovery and gratitude. Wonderful to hear. Great, thanks, folks. Well, our third speaker for today is CJ, who will be speaking on his experience, Strength and Hope, in regards to retirement and recovery for 15 minutes. CJ, I want to welcome you to the call. Would like to know if there are any time warnings that you'd appreciate. Oh, and CJ, you may have to press star 6 if you're speaking.
Can you hear me?
Hear you? Yes, yes, that's perfect.
Sorry about that. A 2-minute warning, please, Grant.
Okay, you got it.
Perfect. All righty, CJ, take it away.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is CJ. I'm a compulsive debtor, time debtor, and vague. And I grew up really poor, and I really wanted to be rich, so I debted like crazy to get stuff. It is not a good recipe for being rich. It's a good way to get really in debt. I've been in and out of DA a few times. Tell you about that. But right now, I've been abstinent for 4 months since the last time I accidentally debted. And I'm contemplating retirement. I'm 60. And I'll come back to it, but I just say, you know, right now I'm looking at deciding when I'll retire and whether I'll buy another house before I retire. So, I came into DA in the 90s, and I had already blown out a retirement account from the first 10 years of working and spent all the money. And I made a lot of money, but I was always spending more than I made, and I was in debt. And so I went into DA in New York in the 90s and learned enough to keep my numbers. And I don't know if I really got the discipline fully of don't spend more than you make as much as I focused on doing it for a while. And I also worked on increasing my income, although I don't really identify as an under-earner. I was at the time, and I grew my income. And so I got out of debt, and I thought, I'm cured, and I left DA. And then I worked another 10 years, and I got laid off. And when I got laid off, I mean, it happened a few times. Like when I blew out that retirement money at 32 years old, the big fix. So like when I was a little kid and I wanted to be rich, I imagined myself being this big shot, and I developed, that's not my train whistle, by the way. I developed this disease I'll call big shotism, you know, like I'll buy dinner for everyone on my credit card. Anyway, so the big shotism led to debting, and the big fix was always that bonus that I would get, you know, to pay off the debt or whatever. When I got laid off in 2001, it was another big fix because I had been there. I'd gone back to the same company, so I had a big package for 20 years of work there, and I didn't blow out that retirement money right away, but I eventually did. And I got into another career, started saving for retirement again a little bit, but I always assumed that I'm going to have to work until I'm 70. And not just for the, you know, I think it's smart that I might wait till 70 to get the maximum out of Social Security, but because I still hadn't figured out how to live on my, you know, six-digit salary, so there was no way I was going to be able to retire. I bought a house in 2007 with the help of a relative who gave me the down payment and actually helped lent me money to get to hide my credit card debt to qualify for the mortgage. I don't recommend that, but in any event, 13 years later, I sold the house and did okay. But in the middle there, I was constantly in crisis, even though I had a spending plan philosophically about how to live within my means and pay that mortgage. I was house poor and I was debt play the big shot and act like I had more than I had. And so I got, you know, into more debt again. I probably visited or audited DA a couple times, but then I came back for real, I think about 3 years ago, 4 years, 5 years, some years ago. And I kept struggling with keeping my numbers. I would keep my numbers long enough to develop a spending plan. And then I loved what I heard about, you know, doing the retirement planner and being frustrated with the numbers because they're too high. I would get frustrated with my spending plan because it didn't really work. And the reason it didn't work is because I had debt, and I had debt payments that I had to make, and I hadn't really used the tool right. So I got a pretty hardcore sponsor who helped me face facts squarely, and with the help of a PRG, going through and viewing it rather differently, viewing it instead of I can't have fill in the blank a big RV for my Burning Man trip, I couldn't have something. Instead of looking at it that way, I'm choosing to not spend on this thing so I can stay within my means. I'm choosing to not have this other expense so I can save money for the next thing to pay cash. I hated the idea, by the way, of paying cash. I'll say I had fairly good success at reining in my spending and aligning it with a spending plan, but I kept debting every so often. One thing is I had credit cards still. That's a note to self. The other one was just being vague. Vagueness is an awesome tool for getting into trouble. So I went through what I at the time was calling them technical debting. You know, I still had, I had money. I just, you know, didn't pay that guy right when it happened, you know. And so it was like peeling layers of the onion to go from really vague to kind of vague to a little vague to, nope, this is what's happening. And the last time I debted, I'm in a relationship. My partner paid the moving man, and I just didn't pay him. And my PRG was like, well, that's debt. I'm like, what? No, that doesn't count. It's in the, you know. And so I'm fine. Not really, but I'm willing to act as if I have the humility, even though I have a law department in my head that would argue why, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I love rigorous acceptance of my numbers and of how I might look at having not paid someone right when something happened and how that can be debt, even if I have the money sitting in my account. In fact, that's even weirder. And it's great if I were in vagueness because then I probably would have spent the money. I didn't. But when I used to have crises in DA, it was like, oh, my God, how am I going to keep my house? I don't have enough money for this, you know, month. And the biggest crisis that I'm just going through now is, oh, my gosh, I'm getting all this money from selling this house. What do I do? How do I handle having money? How do I handle having money? That's scarier than being in debt. I am comfortable being in debt. I mean, I'm not comfortable. It's stressful, but I know how to do being in debt. I did not know how to sit calmly with having money. And big fights with my sponsor and my PRG about, I wanted to pay off everything right away. You know, I had a run-up between student loan debt of about $70,000 and credit cards and personal loans and everything. So I had a total of like $200,000 in unsecured debt. And I sold the house. And I'm like, I'm paying it all off. And, you know, my sponsor's smart. She's like, why don't you call some people in DA and find out what people have done? you know, she told me right away, no, that's not what we do. But my law department kicked in, and so I didn't want to listen. So it was very bumpy going through the decision-making process about what to do with getting a large chunk of cash. And the biggest deal is to not repeat, I think, the biggest deal for me anyway right now, it feels like, is to not repeat the big fix, like all those times I got a bonus or whatever, that I don't have a problem, I'm okay, I'm out of debt, you know, like not to repeat that. And so one of the things I did is I did pay off some debt, but I kept my student loan debt and paying it off as agreed. 5 minutes. And I am not buying a house right away. I'm deciding whether I'm going to buy another house because I sold a big-ass house. It was too much house. And I'm going to move somewhere cheaper and buy a more modest house or not. And so I've got a spending plan that works for me now, and I have accruals, you know, that I'm making every month towards increasing the down payment and towards every annual expense that I have, so I'm not shocked by auto insurance coming due or whatever. But the spending plan that I have still seems huge, and I'm never going to be able to retire. I'm not going to be able to retire till 70, right? And then I got a recommendation for a couples counselor, because we're both in DA, who specializes in money, this couples counselor, and she asked me to just check and find out, you know, what my situation would be retiring at 62, 65, or 70. And so I did, and I was scared. I preferred vagueness, you guys. So I was scared, and I checked, and I was like, oh, my God, if I got laid off today, I mean, I forgot to mention, because I have cash from the house sale, I now have 1 year of prudent reserve based on my current spending plan, plus I have, you know, money in the bank for a down payment for the house, plus I have a bunch of accruals for other, you know. But so I got this information, and I thought, oh, my gosh, if I had to, because I'm 60 now, I could retire right now. And I haven't actually done the math to figure out what it will look like not drawing Social Security until 65 or 70, but I would have way more money than I thought because of a pension where I work. And it was weird because first I got the house proceeds and went from always being in debt to having a year's worth of prudent reserve allocated for housing and food. And then I went to, oh, if I get laid off, I'm okay. And I still, my idea hamsters can still spin the wheel, and I can feel afraid about I'm not going to have enough. But really, compared to a lot of people, I'm actually in a really decent shape for retirement. And so right now, I think, and I'm, you know, in the process of going to my PRG with these ideas, and I sketch out way too many numbers to show why it makes sense. And they're like, calm down. Anyway, but to show them, I think I'm going to retire at 65 because my Social Security plus 4% of my retirement savings plus the pension equals my current spending plan beginning in that year. And, you know, I could probably spend less on retirement. And I was already thinking I'm done, and I thought, well, wait a minute. You know, I haven't bought this house. What's going to happen if I buy the house? And I wasn't counting on using the down payment money or even my prudent reserve money, you know, to make the retirement happen. But it's still, like, vague, right, if I don't know all the details. Like, if I do buy a house and I retire, you know, is a $2,000 payment between mortgage and tax and the insurance, you know, is that too much? Even though I'm paying 25 now for that. And
CJ, you have a minute and 20 seconds left?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, so I loved what I heard earlier, you know, about making sure, like, if I don't have, because I wouldn't have Medicare if I retired before 65, or what it would look like if I don't take Social Security until a few years after I retire. But I just feel this sense of relief about I am enough, I have enough, I'm doing enough. I have a blessing because I have a pension plus an okay savings in my retirement plan. But yeah, it's not as bad as I thought. Usually vagueness meant I'm fine, I can buy anything I want and go out in debt. This time vagueness was like, I can never retire. I'm a poor person, I'll have to work till I die. And it turns out that's not true. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, CJ, so much for sharing your experience, strength, and hope in DA with retirement on your horizon. So I appreciate you all so much. I want to thank you to each speaker today. So we'll now end the recording for our personal sharing period. Anyone speaking during this time will not be recorded. So we'll just wait for the line to stop recording.
Mm-hmm.